This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. Another disaster has struck the YK Delta. A week after the Tununuk Washateria burned down, the sewage lagoon in Hooper Bay broke open. Sewage spilled onto the surrounding tundra, threatening an important subsistence location for the coastal village. Both the community and the state have declared a disaster. In the early morning hours on Friday, February 25th, the sewage lagoon in Hooper Bay began leaking. By the afternoon, the entire content of the community sewage had poured onto the surrounding tundra. The spill followed a sudden rise in the temperature in recent days. Hooper Bay Mayor Sandra Hill said that the thaw and rain had melted the previously frozen land surrounding the sewage lagoon, causing a breach in the wall of the lagoon. Hill said that the sewage spill is around 500 feet north of the nearest resident's home, in an area that is a vital source of subsistence foods for Hooper Bay's approximately 1,100 residents.
That land is our subsistence area. People fish in the slough. It's wetlands for waterfowl. And it's rich in greens, tundra greens we gather. I'm afraid that, you know, with the spill spreading, it's going to be too unsanitary to hunt and gather from there.
City employees were busy over the weekend plowing the roads leading to the sewage lagoon to allow heavy machinery to reach the spill. But Hill said the city is unsure how it will fix the lagoon or clean up the spill once the machinery gets there.
We are not engineers. We need engineers to help us.
The day of the spill, the city of Hooper Bay declared a state of emergency and reached out to the Alaska State Emergency Operations Center for assistance. The following day, Governor Mike Dunleavy issued a state disaster declaration for the village of Hooper Bay, which Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management spokesperson Jeremy Zidek said would allow Hooper Bay to get reimbursed for its response efforts. In the immediate term, Zidek said that the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation would be working with the community to fix the broken walls of the lagoon. He said cleaning up the spill could take months and that Hooper Bay will have to try to deal with the situation locally before the community can turn to the state for help. But Mayor Hill said that it was already clear that Hooper Bay would not be able to clean up the spill on its own, and that she was worried the spill could spread quickly.
Because we are melting, and I'm afraid that spill is going to spread from the melt, water spreading.
In addition to cleaning up the spill, Hooper Bay will also need to contain it. As of Saturday morning, Hill said that the breach in the sewage lagoon had not been fixed, and any resident that flushed their toilet or ran their faucet would likely add to the spill on the tundra. Hill said half of Hooper Bay is connected to piped water and sewer, and she said city officials are considering asking those residents to stop running their water and switch to using honey buckets until the breach in the lagoon is repaired. This is the second disaster declaration in February from the governor for a Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta community. In mid-February, he issued a disaster declaration to make state funding available to help the coastal community of Tununuk after its washateria burned down. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim. Next, in environment. There's a new source of funding available for rural Alaska Native communities facing climate change-related disasters. The money comes from private donations. It will almost certainly not be enough money to respond to the environmental disasters that Alaska communities face. But the new funding source has an advantage over traditional grants. Last spring, a major flood swept through the northwest Alaska village of Buckland. It washed out roads and destabilized homes. The community needed money fast. A new fund had just been created for this exact purpose, the Climate Impact Response Fund, created by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium's Healthy Alaska Natives Foundation. Within weeks of the disaster, the fund sent a $10,000 check to the community to buy emergency gravel to shore up roads and home foundations. $10,000 is not a lot of money when you're responding to an environmental disaster. However, ANTHC's Jen Harrington, who helps manage the fund, says there is a need for small amounts of money that can be sent quickly.
If we had, as an example, chosen to pursue federal funding or state funding, the timeline would have been much longer and we wouldn't have had the ability to be as nimble and as acting as we were.
Another example of where this fund would have come in handy is in Kotlik several years ago. In May of 2019, spring storms and floods suddenly eroded much of the riverbank. Tribal Administrator Pauline Ogitgun said that left one home nearly in the Kotlik River.
Part of the home was hanging off the riverbank, a quarter of it.
The tribe had to move the house immediately and needed money to do so. But the grant process often takes months, and Okitgun didn't have that kind of time.
At the time, we did have bingo funds available for emergency basis to hire local people to move the home further back.
Scraping together a few thousand dollars from the tribe's bingo funds, the tribe was able to move the home back 50 feet from the river's edge, removing it from immediate danger. The Climate Impact Response Fund had not been created yet back when this happened, but Okitgun says Kotlik may need to rely on it this year. If storms this spring suddenly lop off large chunks of the shoreline, the tribe may need emergency funding to quickly move homes that are near the riverbank.
If we're able to, you know, still grab that opportunity for this coming year, yes, I would take that. That would definitely help.
A longer-term solution would require a lot more money than what the fund could offer. Okitgun says Kotlik is talking about a larger relocation like Nutok or Napakiak. Those communities are looking at total costs of well over $100 million for their moves. Statewide, the Alaska Federation of Natives estimates it will cost billions of dollars over the coming decades to protect infrastructure in Alaska Native communities from erosion, flooding, or melting permafrost. Existing state and federal funding only scratches the surface of what's needed. The Climate Impact Response Fund officially launched last November, a few months after it awarded a grant to Buckland. Since then, the fund has raised just $22,000. ANTHC's Jen Harrington says it clearly isn't the cure-all for Alaska Native communities facing climate change.
It was definitely not created with the expectation that it would fill the billions of dollars of a gap in funding that's needed in Alaska from federal and state entities. Our goal here was to try and create something that allowed people to get support very quickly.
If you would like to donate to the Climate Impact Response Fund, you can head to ANTHC's foundation's website, healthyalaskanatives.org. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kemp. Kuyana for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips and comments or suggestions to news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.